Mark Jonathan Davis didn't plan on publishing a book about Hawaii signs. It just happened. You could say the fonts got their grip on Davis and wouldn't let go. He was in town for a book signing this month and stopped by our studios to chat about his fixation with fonts.
There are so many amazing signs on the walls of buildings here. And I lived in Honolulu for 4 years, from 2011 to 2014, plus a little time in between. And I drove around just like everybody else, but I noticed these things because for some reason I have this genetic inclination to read signs. My father used to drive me around and read all the signs to me when we were driving in my hometown. So I would see these signs and I was like, wow, these are really beautiful. And then I started to notice that they were all from the same era. You know, they're all from the 50s and 60s primarily. And that's hotels, apartment buildings, motels, resorts, restaurants even. And so there were so many of them. And I just started to realize, wow, I should take some pictures. They're pretty. And by the time I had finished taking about 50 different sign pictures, I was like, uh-oh, what do I do now? Do I just not stop? Or do I keep going and get enough together to make a book? So I chose the book. So I ended up taking pictures of, I think, about 700 different signs, and I used 180 of them in the book.
Do you have a favorite?
I love a lot of them. You know, the front cover of the book has a wide variety of the different images from around town. The Waikiki Skyliner, which is the one in the top center, it's easily the most crazy sign in Honolulu, I think. It's from this apartment building that's right off Alawai, and the sign is on this giant black rock wall, and it's this light teal green color, you know, the color of oxidized metal. And it's just crazy. As I wrote in the book, it looks like a floating bowling alley. You know, it's just got this crazy slant and optimistic font, and it's got a line across it. It's very wacky. And that's really the signature of a lot of these things, because back in the 50s and 60s, fonts were... there were no computers. There was no, you couldn't even get rub on letters. You literally had to draw them. So artists designed every single one of these fonts from scratch. And you can't find these fonts in Photoshop. You know, these are original fonts that just existed because someone made them up on a drawing board.
But I think that's the beauty of this book, is that you moved to Hawaii and just started noticing things, I guess, with fresh eyes.
That's the thing, is that I was taking the pictures, and as I was taking the pictures, I was starting to get to know the signs and get to know the neighborhoods and get to know the buildings and start to appreciate the history. And then you realize that some of these signs have been up there since 1951. And it's a miracle that they're still there. The miracle that the building is still standing and hasn't been razed and replaced by a high rise. And as I was doing the project and as I was taking pictures, a lot of times I'd need to go back to get a better view of the same picture, of the same sign. So one sign, it was Hawaiian Beauty Supply, and it was over in the Kaka'ako area. And it was this beautiful old sign from the 1960s, and it was on this big sheet metal wall in front of an industrial warehouse area. And I went back to take another picture of it, and it was gone. The building had been torn down in 2015. So that was sort of a wake-up call to me. Then I had to get every picture I could of every sign before more of them are destroyed or you know, redeveloped. And since the book came out a couple months ago, three of the signs that are in the book are already gone. It's literally happening before our eyes.
I stumbled on to this book at the Dokomomo Symposium. It caught my attention. You know, it's a little quirky. But when you think about fonts, you know, I guess I think of, you know, Mr. Apple, Steve Jobs, and the italics, and he took a class, I think, in calligraphy, because mm-hmm. it was just so beautiful. And you know, based on what struck him, you know, the artist in him and just good design, we had the beauty of the iPhone.
These fonts were all created by a small group of designers who worked at the sign companies in local. There was Honolulu Sign Company, but there were a bunch of sign companies, and the designers who made those fonts, you know, they just drew them by hand and probably looked at some of the fonts that were being used on the mainland, you know, Hollywood, and seeing fonts that they would see on TV commercials and so forth. And what we have now in Honolulu is this just giant catalog of vintage fonts that happened to be on buildings and happened to be 8 feet tall, you know. So it's really kind of amazing that all those things still survive. A lot of people love mid-century, and there's a reason for that, because it was made during a time when America, or at least the mainland, had a great deal of money and a great deal of prosperity and a lot of free time. You know, after World War II, there were a lot of people coming home from the war who had nothing better to do but create brand new exciting products using the technologies that had been developed during the war. So you had advances in plastics, you had advances in structure and architecture and design. And so all of the stuff that was made in the 50s and 60s was made by these really brilliant college graduate artists. And so much of the stuff we see all over the United States is from the 1950s and 60s, has this really wonderful sense of style and simplicity and modernism that was basically funded by all of the research and things that we learned, you know, during the war. So what's interesting is that Hawaii, because it was becoming a state around that time, it was obviously there were a lot of people from the United States mainland coming here and buying property and building things. And so they copied what was happening in California and the big cities on the mainland. And that's why you see such I want to say it's a Los Angeles suburban architectural style here. All of the dingbat buildings, which are two-story walk-up apartment buildings that have a garage on the ground floor and the apartments on the second floor, that's a copied style that was made very popular in Los Angeles. So the architecture we have in Honolulu from the 50s and 60s is a copy of Los Angeles, basically. And that's why it was so familiar to me when I moved here. I was like, oh, this looks exactly like Santa Monica. This looks exactly like, you know, Encino, California, with all these suburban-style apartment buildings and motels and so forth. So I took these pictures, and I made the book, and now I sort of have this time capsule of my time there. And so it's been a really interesting experience to take all these photographs, and I like them for me. And then when I show people the book, people from Hawaii, they go, oh my gosh, I know all these signs. Where did you find all these? Why did you take all these pictures? I'm like, I don't know the answer to that either. But it's really nice. It's like a little memory book of everything I drove past for 3 years, you know.
Well, it's fun because, you know, the pagoda is just right around the corner from the studio here. And
the Pagoda Hotel has 4 different signs on it, and they're all great. And my favorite thing is this. There's a sign on, I think it's Rycroft, and it says, Pagoda Hotel, International Ballroom. You know, like, what's an international ballroom? I don't know. I know what a ballroom is, but an international ballroom, that's fancy.
And to think that David Copperfield, I think, played at C'est Si Bon.
Oh, right. That's right, that restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the pagoda has a sign on the top of the building. It has a sign on the roof. It has an apartment building next door called Pagoda Terrace. And whoever designed that font that's used for all the pagoda buildings, it's fantastic. You know, it's just in this one block area. The Pan American building is here. And there's just a ton of wonderful signs in almost every neighborhood. And I know that a lot of people who live here don't really pay attention because they've been living here all their lives and they just drive right by. But if you take a step back and you look at the signs, you're like, oh my gosh, there is a museum of signs right out here in the open. So it's really fun.
And you have cocoa palms.
Yeah. I took that picture before the sign was stolen. I was on vacation in Kauai in, I think, 1997, and I drove by and took a photo with an Instamatic camera, and then a few years later I went back to Kauai and the sign's gone. The sign was stolen. Hopefully that property will be remade someday, but they've been talking about that for a long time.
You have a picture in here of the sign, of a sign in pieces, the Pacific.
Yeah, the Pacific sign is, this is a fascinating story. On Kapi'olani, right across from Ala Moana Mall, there had been a building there, built in the 50s, called Mid-Pacific Insurance Company. And when I moved to Honolulu, all it said was Pacific. The mid had been taken off by somebody. And actually, the building with the word Pacific on it was behind another building, because someone had built a new building in front of the old building. So I couldn't understand why there was a sign in this little 6 foot wide alleyway that you couldn't even see from the street. So that was one of the pictures I took. I had to get up on the staircase and take a picture from an angle. And that sign, I found out, was up there since 1951. And then when I did my research, I asked the landlord of the property, you know, do you have any information about this? And they helped me, and I got some information out of the newspaper. And then last year in 2017, I guess 2 years ago, the property owner called me and said, hey, they're demolishing that building. And that sign, the Pacific sign, is going to be destroyed if you don't take it. I go, what do you mean if I don't take it? He goes, you're the only person who's ever taken a picture of it that I know, so come and get it. So I didn't even live in Honolulu anymore, so I had to call and find a sign company, and I found one, and they came over and took it off the wall, and I have it in Los Angeles now. And I'm hoping someone listening who's rich wants to take the sign back and bring it back to Honolulu and put it on display in a museum, or if you have a business named Pacific something, let's get that sign back out on the wall and out in public so people can enjoy it. It's this beautiful red neon sign. It is 17 feet wide, 6 feet tall. It weighs so much, and I could barely fit it in my car when I picked it up from the cargo shipping place.
Love the story.
Yeah, it's a great story. It's the last story in the book, and you know, it was really amazing that the sign was still intact after 70 years, 60 years on that one wall. So I know that people who live around Honolulu see all these old signs and probably, as you said, take them for granted. But if you do see one of these signs on one of these buildings and the building's being destroyed or remodeled, stop your car, pull over, find the person in charge and say, if you're going to take that sign down, you need to call Mark Jonathan Davis because he'll save it. Because we have to preserve these iconic symbols of the 1950s and 60s, and all, they're historical. They're gems, you know, they're treasures.
Well, Mark Davis, thank you for saving these images for us.
It is my pleasure. Thank you so much for reading. If anyone wants to buy the book, it's available at Fishcake, and you can also get it at the Hawaii State Art Museum gift shop. And it's in the library, I just found out, so I'm very excited. And our website is fontsinparadise.com.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Thank you.
That was Mark Jonathan Davis talking about his new book entitled Fonts in Paradise.